Welcome to the media ministry of the Bible Church of Brownsburg. The teacher for this message is Pastor Kirby Myers.
So good to be here with you all on the 20th anniversary of the Bible Church of Brownsburg. And so thank you for inviting my family and I back for this special occasion. It's hard to follow Hans Kaufman. That just wasn't really fair to follow him. I got to preach in that church and do a men's retreat for him a few years ago and during COVID. And so that was a blessing to see him. And he's got a great situation there in Arlington. As I think back 20 years, I remember our very first Sunday, we were in a building downtown called Eaton Hall, and we rented each week for the first like 2.5 or 3 months. It cost us $50 a week to rent that building. I was the pastor and the custodian. I would go in and clean the bathrooms every Sunday morning because they needed to be cleaned. It was pretty bad. It doesn't seem like 20 years ago, but we had 7 families that helped start this church, 19 people in all. And I remember our first service, September 1, 2002, we had 30 people there. And the following week, we grew to 26. And so appreciate all those that came to see us that first week. We had 3 children in our church at that time. And so Dee Long unanimously was appointed the head of our children's ministry, because all 3 children belonged to her and Brad. So, and I remember we had just one little auditorium. We didn't have any classrooms or anything. And so children's ministry was outside of Eaton Hall, like in the parking lot under the tree. And we had 5 Sundays in a row that were really nice. And then we were able to move into a school. I remember that first service, we had a little cookout after the service. Randy Johnson was on the grill, making some hamburgers and hot dogs. And then we did move to Cardinal Elementary School. We were there for about 2.5 years. And then we moved into a renovated warehouse downtown for about 6 months. I remember the very first Sunday that we were there, the following Monday, I got a call from the pastor of this church, where the church that was meeting here, and he said, Kirby, our church is going to close down, and we want to sell our building. And we wanted to see if you were interested. And I remember going, Pastor Mike, do you realize we just moved into a warehouse? This past weekend was our first Sunday there. And but we moved into that warehouse, and Liz Todd reminded me the other day that was called the Balloon Building. We called it that because they sold party supplies, and that was a good fit for a little bit. It gave us 24-hour access to the building. And then we purchased this property and moved into this building in 2005. I loved my 12 years here. I loved everyone that was a part of this church, and our family was loved by you here, and that made it very, very difficult to leave here in 2014. Jonathan and Matthew were born here while we were here, and we adopted Andre during our time here in 2011, and so they have very fond memories of their time here at the Bible Church. So thank you for continuing to love us. You do that through your prayers and your financial support of our ministry. I spent 7 years at the United States Naval Academy working for Fellowship of Christian Athletes there, and have spent the last year at West Virginia University. And so thank you for your love for our family. If you would, take your Bibles and turn to the Gospel of Matthew, Matthew chapter 16. I got to say that 153 times when I was the pastor here, turn to the Gospel of Matthew, because we spent 3 years in that glorious gospel together, and that was just a great time. My son Matthew was born during our study of the Gospel of Matthew, and he was almost 8 when we finished, okay? No, that's not true. He was 8 when we left. But Matthew chapter 16, I want to look and read verses 13 through 20. Matthew 16, verses 13 through 20. Now, when Jesus came into the district of Caesarea Philippi, he was asking his disciples, "Who do people say that the Son of Man is?" And they said, "Some say John the Baptist, and others Elijah, but still others Jeremiah or one of the prophets." He said to them, "But who do you say that I am?" Simon Peter answered, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." And Jesus said to him, "Blessed are you, Simon Barjona, because flesh and blood did not reveal this to you, but my Father who is in heaven. I also say to you that you are Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades will not overpower it. I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatever you bind on earth shall have been bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth shall have been loosed in heaven." Then he warned the disciples that they should tell no one that he was the Christ. Would you bow with me in prayer? Father, we thank you for this Lord's Day. Thank you for this gathering. Thank you for this church and how you have built it and sustained it over the last 20 years. And Lord, now as we look into this great passage about the church, God, I pray that you would just help me to communicate in your truth in a way that is edifying. I pray that I would be clear, that I would be accurate, and that all that we would say and do this day would bring glory and honor to you. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, the topic that was given to me for this great occasion and celebration is the protection of the church. I preached this passage, or I preached the passage that I just read here many years ago. I think it was in 2006. And we looked that day at the seven characteristics of the church that Christ loves and builds. And so I want to focus on the fourth point or the fourth characteristic from that sermon as we look today at the protection of the church. So let me give you the first three points in passing as we make our way to the fourth characteristic of the church that Christ loves and builds. Number one, we see that Christ defines the church. Christ defines his church. Here in verse 18, we see the first mention of the word church in the New Testament. It's the Greek word ekklesia, and we understand here that Jesus is the one who came up with the concept of the New Testament church. It was his idea. Christ ordained the New Testament church. And when you think about this word ekklesia, it means assembly or congregation or church. A better definition is even the called out ones. That is who we are as a church. We are those who have been called out of the world. It's a gathering of citizens called out from their homes into some public assembly. And that is what the church is. Those who have been called out of the world, called unto Christ to be set apart as his special people for his own plan and his own purpose. Number two, we see here that Christ designs his church. He says, "I will build my church." This is a possessive pronoun, and here we understand that the church belongs to Christ. It was his idea, it was his concept, and so it belongs to him. If that is the case, should we not look to him to see what the church should look like? Unfortunately, we have many pastors today and church planters, church growth experts that are designing and constructing churches as to what they believe the church should look like. And in the process, they have not consulted the great architect himself. This is dumbfounding because no one knows more about the church than Jesus Christ himself. He has defined the church. He has designed the church. Why in the world would anyone want to leave him out when constructing a church? Number three, we see that Christ develops his church. Verse 18 says, "I will build my church." And Christ is still building his church. Amen? It is not yet complete. And Paul says that he gave some to be apostles and some to be prophets, some to be pastor teachers, for the equipping of the saints, for the work of service, to the building up of the body of Christ, until we all attain to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God to a mature man, to the measure of the stature which belongs to the fullness of Christ. That's Ephesians 4, 11 to 13. You may be asking, like, why have we not yet been raptured? Why are we still here? I often ask that question. Why are we still here, Lord? Is it because we have to go through the great tribulation period? I really hope not. That would really wreck my end times theology, okay, that I've been working on for years. No, I believe Christ's return has not yet occurred, and we are still here because Christ is not done building his church. He is currently gathering his elect, those who God chose before the foundation of the world. Jesus says, I will build my church. This is future tense. And it is also a statement of absolute certainty. It is the divine promise of the divine Savior. Many times if you drive by a church, you will see a date on the side of the building. The church that we purchased here in 2005 was built in 1987. And I remember seeing that on the side of this building, the date which this building was completed. But there is no date on Christ Church, because the building is not yet complete. It has been a long building project. The construction began around AD 30. The cornerstone was laid, Christ himself being that cornerstone. The foundation was poured, and the church being built on the foundation of the apostles and the prophets. The blueprints are finished. Christ knows what the end result will be and what the church will look like, and he even knows when the project will be complete. But for now, the building continues. Christ is developing his church, and you and I, by the amazing grace of a loving and merciful God, are part of his church. We are members of his body. Hallelujah. How good to wake up this morning and know that we are in Christ. And to say, as Trevor used to say, he used to tell me, we don't go to church, we get to come to church, right? We get to come and be a part of this body that he is building. So Christ defines his church, he designs his church, he develops his church, and this is where we want to get to today. Christ defends his church. Christ defends his church. Verse 18, look at that again. Jesus says, I also say to you that you are Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades will not overpower it. Now, this verse is full of interpretive issues, as we say as pastors, right? You have to study and go, what was Jesus trying to say here? What did he mean when he said, I say to you that you are Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church? I remember when I preached on this passage in 2006, and I remember preparing for that sermon in my office, and I had heard and I'd read about the Roman Catholic Church's interpretation on this passage when I was at the Master's Seminary, and even before that, I had read about it, but I wanted to be sure. I wanted to represent the Roman Catholic perspective on this passage, and so I called the local priest here in Brownsburg. I remember that, and I didn't know him, and I called St. Malachy, and I talked to Father Dan, you know, and he was very kind, and I said, hey, this is what I've been taught. I wanted to be sure, and he was very helpful, and their interpretation is that Jesus was saying that Peter was the rock upon which the church was built, and so I said, thank you, just wanted to represent you well, and he goes, hey, call anytime, you know. We never had lunch or anything, but we had a nice conversation. But my interpretation of this passage, and I think many godly people before me, and after careful study of the Word of God and consulting godly men that I trust, is that Christ was saying, upon this confession that Peter made, when Peter said, you are the Christ, you are the Son of the living God, that upon this confession, Jesus would build his church. Now we need to determine, what does Jesus mean when he says, the gates of Hades will not overpower it? Well, most of your translations have the word Hades. If you have the King James Version or the ESV, Or if you have the NLT, I'd like to talk to you afterwards, but that's okay. But it's the version FCA uses or used to use. I don't like it so much. But if you have the King James or the ESV, the NLT, you have the word hell here instead of Hades. It is the word Hades in the Greek, and it means the world of the dead or death. Hades often, if not always, refers to hell in the Gospels. So it's best to interpret it hell here in Matthew 16. Some interpret this as the realm of the dead, but those who favor this interpretation have difficulty showing in what way the gates of that realm are striving to overpower the church and are failing in that assault. The Lord here is giving a divine promise. Just as he promised to build his church, here he is promising to defend his church. And when Hades is interpreted as indicating hell, that assurance can be readily understood. This is a figure of speech that represents Satan and his legions, as it were, storming out of the gates of hell with the purpose of attacking and destroying the church. But Jesus here promises Peter and the disciples that this will never occur. And here we have a promise that is often repeated in Scripture, that Christ's church will be victorious over the forces of evil. In John 16:33, Jesus said, "These things I have spoken to you, so that in me you may have peace. In the world you have tribulation, but take courage, I have overcome the world." Revelation 17, verse 14, in reference to the beast and the 10 kings, we read here that these will wage war against the Lamb, and the Lamb will overcome them, because he is Lord of lords and King of kings, and those who are with him are the called and chosen and faithful. And then Romans 16, 20, as Paul is wrapping up that great epistle, he says, "The God of peace will soon crush Satan under your feet." Isn't that a great verse? The God of peace will crush Satan under your feet. So we have these divine promises from a divine book and a divine Savior that the church will not be overcome. Never. It will not happen. Christ is our defender, and he defends the church that he has defined. He protects the church that he has designed. And he preserves the church that he is currently developing and building. Many of the songs that we sing, especially the older hymns, remind us of this grand truth. Isaac Watts wrote a hymn called, "O God, Our Help in Ages Past." And in that, one of the verses say, "Under the shadow of thy throne, still may we dwell secure. Sufficient is thine arm alone, and our defense is sure." Martin Luther wrote, "A mighty fortress is our God, a bulwark never failing. And though this world with devils filled should threaten to undo us, we will not fear, for God hath willed his truth to triumph through us. The prince of darkness grim, we tremble not for him. His rage we can endure, for lo, his doom is sure. One little word shall fell him." William Hendrickson, a great Bible commentator, says that Jesus promised that he would always cause his people to triumph over the devil and his army. This promise is given not to lukewarm Laodiceans, but to Christian soldiers. This promise must have prompted Reverend Sabine Baring Gould of England to write that great hymn, "Onward, Christian Soldiers," where he penned these tremendous words: "Crowns and thorns may perish, kingdoms rise and wane, but the church of Jesus constant will remain. Gates of hell can never against that church prevail. We have Christ's own promise, and that cannot fail." We know that Nero tried to destroy the church by killing off all of the Christians, and though he put many to death, he was unsuccessful in destroying the church. Hitler attempted to kill all the Jews, many of those who would trust Jesus as Messiah and become members of the body of Christ, and he was unsuccessful in doing so. Satan, the most powerful creature on the earth, with all of his demons, with all the legions of hell, with all the forces of evil, has been trying for nearly 2,000 years to destroy the church, and he has been and will forever be unsuccessful. Many years ago, I put my son Jonathan, who was probably 3 at the time, he's now 19, it's hard to believe, as of last Saturday, I was putting him down for a nap, and he asked me to tell him a story before he went to sleep. He doesn't do that very often anymore. It's kind of weird. Probably would be really weird if he did, wouldn't it? But I was about to mow the yard, and I told him that one time when I was mowing the yard, I saw a snake over on Donnelly Drive, Dan, Karen. And I'd finished mowing and began to weed eat, and as I was cutting some weeds, I saw this little snake slithering. He thought about challenging me for a moment, but he saw that I had a weed eater, and he decided to slip away. Well, Satan is powerful, right? He comes to steal, to kill, and destroy. Peter says he prowls around like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. But he is no match for Christ. And he is no match for our sinless Savior. God incarnate, Jesus Christ, who cannot lie, has told us through the weapon he has given the church, the sword of the Spirit, the inerrant word of God, that the church will not be overcome by the powers of hell. You can count on it. The Lord will protect and preserve his church forever. Praise God. My good friend Brad Long, I don't see him back there right now, but he is now the pastor of Canby Community Church in Canby on the southeast side here. And he helped me start this church, and he was truly my right-hand man. I could not have done what we did those early days without him. Sally and I moved back here. We moved here from Washington State in July of 2002, and Brad and I met several times over those 3 months, July and August, September, to talk and to pray and to plan. We had a name for the church. We had a location, at least for the first few weeks. We had a checking account. That was important. We had an offering box. I think Chad made that for us. And we put that in the back and never passed a plate for the 12 years that I was here. And we had a karaoke machine and an amplifier for our services. And we were able to record my sermons on cassette tape. You parents can explain to children later what that was. Those tapes are no longer available. Those sermons were so bad, we burned them. But we were told, as we were trying to start this little church with 7 families, we were told by a mutual friend that if we did not attend his church planning boot camp, our church was likely to fail within the first year. Well, Brad and I didn't go. We were not afraid to fail because we believed if Christ was in this, he would build his church. And there was great comfort in knowing that. Well, the church is still here. Amen. We went through a very tough time here in 2008. We had about 60 families at that time, and there was division in the church. We went from 6 elders down to 3 in a 1-week period. And with all the fallout, we had about 20 families leave this church. It was the hardest thing I've ever been through in my life. And one lady asked me in my office how we would survive this, and I don't think she believed that we would. Well, the church is still here. We had peace and unity for my final 6 years here. We paid off our building early. Thank you, John Martin, for your help on that. We were able to pave our parking lot. If you don't remember what the church was like before with our gravel driveway with lots of holes that took out tires and hurt suspensions, we were able to hire an associate pastor, and the church is still here. But that is because Jesus Christ has been the focus and the foundation from the very beginning. It has been all about him and all about his word. And that's why we wanted to call it the Bible Church of Brownsburg. We wanted people to know what this church was all about. Christ has promised to build his church, and he has been doing that here in this local body for the last 20 years. Praise God, he gets all the glory. Amen. Well, in conclusion, a man named Samuel John Stone wrote a great hymn many years ago called The Church as One Foundation. We just sang it a few minutes ago. And that sums this all up when he writes this. The Church as One Foundation is Jesus Christ, her Lord. She is his new creation by water and the word. From heaven he came and sought her to be his holy bride. With his own blood he bought her, and for her life he died. Jesus will continue to defend and protect his church for the good of his people, for the glory of God, and the gates of hell will not overpower it. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for your protection of the church. Lord, thank you for building your church and developing it and defending it. Thank you, Lord, that your church will not fail. Your purposes will never fail. And I pray we would trust you. And God, I pray you would give this church 20, 40, 50 more years, Lord, as long as you will tarry until your return, that this church would always be about the gospel, that it would always be about Christ and your word. Thank you for Pastor Paul, and thank you for the many faces that I recognize today and the many new ones as well. Lord, have your way. Continue doing your work here for your glory, we pray in Jesus' name.
You have been listening to a message from the Bible Church of Brownsburg. For more information, please visit our website at www.bcb.church or call 317-852-7475.